Before we begin, this is for the person who has done everything right. You've built the career, you became dependable, you created the life you were supposed to want. And maybe, quietly, you've asked yourself, is this it? Not because you're ungrateful and not because anything is wrong, but because something doesn't feel alive anymore. You might notice it in small ways, the tight jaw, the restless sleep, that subtle sense that you're moving through your days instead of actually living them. That feeling isn't failure, friend. It's what happens when you outgrow a life shaped by expectations you never consciously chose. At 5-Year U, we help successful people step back into agency safely. Not by blowing up your life and not by making dramatic changes, but by creating intentional shifts that actually fit who you are now. And if you're curious whether this is something that could support you, we offer a complimentary clarity call. It's not a sales call. There's no pressure. It's simply a space to explore where you are, what's shifted, and whether working together with us makes sense. If something in you is leaning towards that conversation, you can book one at 5yearu.com. Now let's begin with the show.
Welcome to the 5-Year U podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow?
Hey, 5 Tribe, welcome back. Can you actually remember the last time you felt peaceful? Today's episode is called How to Protect Your Peace, and it's all about making sure you have more calm, peace, and serenity in your life. With me always is Kat. How you doing today, Kat?
Feeling peaceful. Feeling good.
Are you really? That's awesome.
Might have taken a little nap before this episode, so that's helping a bit. So
that's the first thing, folks. You need to nap.
Nap,
rest, all the good things. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next. No, I'm just kidding. We got lots in this show
that's
for
it.
You. That's it. Sleep. Sleep is the answer. I think when we talk about protecting our peace, maybe we should define what peace is, because I think that can be a lot of different things depending on where you're at. So how would you define peace?
I would define peace as being undisturbed. Things are not bugging you.
I like that. I would define peace as being calm. Like that kind of serenity, right? Like, meaning there could be a lot of noisy things going on around you, a lot of chaos around it. But if you're feeling calm, you've protected your peace somehow. But to do that, I think it lends more to what you've just said.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a combination of things. And the ultimate peace is when you have calm in your mind, because we could be on the most serene forest walk and the birds are lightly chirping. But if I'm bothered by something in my mind and I'm ruminating, I'm not really at peace, even though my surroundings are beautiful and calm. So peace is a bit of an inside job. But because of all of the things in the world that can negatively impact our ability to feel peace, it also requires strong boundaries, which can be really hard to do.
Yeah, and we'll get to the boundaries stuff for sure, because that is, I think that's the most challenging thing for most of us, is to set a boundary and stick with it and honor ourselves with it. But I think a lot of times when we're starting out with trying to protect our peace, we just want to get away from everything. Like, we want to kind of avoid anything that might set us off. Or I'm like, what's the opposite of peace? War? No, that's not a great analogy. But, you know, and kudos to me for acknowledging what a bad analogy is for the first time in my life.
That'd be on brand for you, but go on.
It would be, but go on. So I think when we are looking at it, we have to really think, look, you're not trying to avoid stressful situations. You're just trying to get in alignment with a part of you that actually can be calm in harder times. And to do that, you need to know where your lines are.
Yeah. And some people have the tendency to make sure everyone else is okay. And that's a lovely trait. We're going into the holidays, though. And part of the reason this is a very stressful time of year for everyone is that all the people that try to make everyone else peaceful end up being stressed themselves. They're trying to make everyone else happy. They're trying to see all 17 grandpas or whatever it is. And in putting in so much effort to give everyone else what they want and what makes them happy, they disrupt their own moments of calm. And so I think this is a very timely episode, though it's good any day of year as we head into the big holiday season.
Yeah, it's definitely a time of year where you can get knocked off kilter a lot easier than normal. And I think like that's kind of brings in like, you know, what are these like external things that might come up? But there's the internal stuff, which is a different game. But when we're talking about like those external drains, like you think about the mom or that's trying to, you know, please two different families and their own, trying to make sure everybody's happy, that the meal's done the way it's supposed to be done and get to the places and all the things. And that overcommitment is going to drain you so fast. And that's why you need to know where your line is in that. And it's really hard to draw that line, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. Every time we draw boundaries to protect our peace, it will automatically rub up against and cause intense friction with everyone who benefited from you not having any boundaries. So exactly. You can very quickly see who really enjoyed the people-pleasing versions of you by setting up some boundaries, because they're not going to like it and they're going to make things difficult. But the thing about boundaries is you really have to set them up and hold to them, because the minute you take them back or have a moment where you're like, never mind, then you're right back in the cycle and it's really hard to recapture your peace at all.
It is. And you and I have had those experiences where you set a boundary, and that's usually you'll see right away when you set it who does not like it and kind of gets the fork into you a little bit and says like, you know, well, that's pretty selfish, or I can't believe you're doing that, or but you've always used to do this. Can't you just do it this one more time? And there really isn't one more time. It's
no.
Just the next time that they're using that excuse. And then, you know, a year from now, you'll be hearing the same line of reasoning. So it is hard to draw those lines, especially when you're a people pleaser like both of us are. And we both tend to overcommit as well.
We overcommit and we overgive, I think, is the thing. You know?
I agree.
Overcommit and overgive. And I think over time, and we've done episodes about this before, about being a nice person. It's like sometimes people really take advantage of nice people because they know more likely than not, you know, we're going to say yes, we're going to, you know, pitch in and help, we can do one more thing. And it just got to the point where we have decided to only, you know, support and interact with people who love us and pour into us as much as we pour into them, and where the energy is equal, because that is what makes everyone exhausted, is overcommitting, going above and beyond, saying yes to work projects, offering to pitch in, doing the last minute volunteer sign up. And I think it's okay to do nice things if that's where your heart is. What's bad is if you feel compelled to do it, like someone's going to be mad at you if you don't, because if you have that anxiety or worried about disappointing people, you're never going to feel peaceful.
Yeah, if you're thinking, what will they think of me if I don't? You're a people pleaser. And in that moment, you need to realize that you're on a hamster wheel that you're never getting off of in that way. So you need to start looking at things and going, why are you doing that? Why are you trying to make everybody else around you happy? And as somebody who has done this for a very long time, the reason why I tried to make everyone else happy is because it made me feel safe. And
yeah.
Kind of like, if everybody else is happy, then, you know, then I should be in that same soup bowl of happiness and feel happy too. Or, you know, like but it's not the case. Your brain is looking for a way. And you need to give yourself permission to take a step aside and look at it and go, okay, this is wrong for me. This is a never-ending cycle that I need to change, or else it's just going to get worse. But you're right. Like, so many of us are, if you're a good worker, if you're a good son, a good daughter, and you're, you know, all these things, you tend to get more asked from you because they know that they can rely on you. And that's a good thing, but not when it's to the detriment of your peace.
Exactly. If you are unsure, dear listeners, what peace feels like, and maybe you've dabbled in feeling peaceful and setting boundaries before, but have found it very stressful due to other people's reactions, let me tell you what's on the other side. There's actually a really strong sense of pride that comes from putting your needs first. And we're taught so much that that's a selfish thing to do, especially if you're a parent, especially if you grew up in a religious culture. And we're taught that it's selfish to put your needs first. And so it really is a paradigm shift to say, look, when I'm healthy, well, and peaceful, everyone around me benefits. So the first time you stand up for yourself, it's going to feel super weird. The first time you say no, the first time you say I'm not available, but don't actually like say why, even if it's because I don't want to go, there is this little sense of pride that bubbles up. This signal that you send to your own brain that says your peace matters, your calm matters. Go you. Congratulations, self. You stood up to that person that is always making you feel bad whenever you pick up the phone. You stood up to that person who constantly has this critical eye. And look, you told your extended family members that you don't want to go to all these different houses for Christmas because your kids are only little once and you want to enjoy them and you don't want to drag kids all over the state for the holidays. You're going to feel guilty because you're a nice person. But along with that guilt, you're going to get this unfamiliar feeling of pride that you stood up for yourself and you're actually doing what you want to do. I encourage you to give it a try. It's going to feel a little weird, but you're really going to like it once you start getting used to it.
So I love that. What advice would you give to somebody when that guilt inevitably kicks in? Because it's hardest at first, right? Like when you say that you're not going to go to the Friday night thing, to the Christmas thing, to whatever, what advice can you give to somebody that is going through this for the first time and they want to go in their head, okay, Kat said that this was going to happen and...
I always use the phrase, I think it's actually Dave Ramsey that says it, but it's to be clear is to be kind. Andrew will tell you, I'm a very direct person. I'm nice, but I'm direct. So I don't like do the passive aggressive thing. I don't like dance around the bush. Like, you're going to know. And so I encourage people not to let others walk all over you. Because the truth is, when you have to set boundaries with people closest to you, that's when the guilt's going to hit the hardest. And when the guilt comes in, like, oh, well, you know, your grandma's 100 years old and this could be their last thing. And just be like, I understand that. I call grandma once a week. We have a great relationship. She raised all of these kids. She understands. And I know she understands. And I'm proud of me for putting my children first. And guilting me about it is not helping me and is certainly not going to make me want to come next year. Like, I'm just super direct about it. Not mean, not unkind, just it's not up for discussion. That's it. One time I was trying to split up family stuff like during the holidays and I was like, okay, we'll be with this side of the family on Christmas Eve and this side of the family on Christmas Day and then maybe we'll switch next year. And sure enough, like whoever didn't get Christmas Day, I didn't hear about it directly, but like my siblings would say, oh, this person was upset. This is mad. And you can't please everybody. Somebody is going to be upset with the decisions you make. Might as well not make it you, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. The song lyrics, you can't please everyone, so you got to learn to please yourself, never ring truer than they do at Christmas time. Because somebody is inevitably going to have hurt feelings. We went through that a ton, you know, from the time I was a kid. Going to, you know, trying to fit both grandparents in and then splitting it up and everything. And the interesting thing is, like, nobody really asked the kids what they wanted. No. I don't know if anybody asked my parents what they wanted. And, you know, but it's just everybody's trying to please everybody. And I think in doing that often, nobody's actually happy. When everybody is like showing up to a place to please everybody else, that means nobody's actually going there because they necessarily want to by their own freedom of choice. They're going there because of circumstance, holiday traditions, all this stuff. And it's important that you start to be honest with yourself, because the truth is, if you don't want to be there, that energy flows through everything. Everybody knows you don't want to be there. We all know when we have gone somewhere and there's that one person that doesn't want to be at Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving or just a Friday night get together, and you know it, and it ruins it for everybody else, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So in protecting your peace, you're actually giving yourself and those that you care about permission to enjoy things a little bit more. And you might be setting a better example. I know, like, I think there's a lot of pressure on like these handful of days in a year,
so
you know, whether it's
pressure.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, all these things. And the reality is you're not free, but, you know, there's availability the rest of the year. Why do we do this?
So much availability.
Yeah. So it's kind of silly to put this stress on everyone. I know it's the society we live in. I'm not against it or anything like that, but I am for thinking differently. And if that thinking differently is going to help you protect your peace, you should really consider doing it because it is such a valid thing. I've had to make some hard choices this year for my Christmas, and it's going to be very different this year.
Yeah.
But it's for my peace, and I have to do that. I have to protect my peace. Otherwise, I am not going to enjoy Christmas, and that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, you and I are on the same wavelength here. And again, I know we're talking about the holidays. It's just because of the time of the year we're recording this. But I really want to encourage everybody to try to think outside the box with these things, because like you said, it is so much pressure on these couple of days a year. And I would venture to suggest that you might actually have a way better time with your grandma if you get to take her shopping one-on. I would venture to guess that you might have like a way better time with your dad or your siblings if you go at some other time of year where you can really get some quality time in. It is near impossible to get quality time in when there's like 20 people in a house and everybody's like going for the turkey, right? I'm a huge proponent of experiences and one-on-one time. And it's just because I get very overwhelmed with a lot of people and high emotions and the pressures of the holidays. So you asked me what I would suggest to somebody if they felt guilty. The first thing is just to speak your truth. Be clear, be kind. Don't let anybody make you feel bad. Don't let people add to the guilt. Hey, that's not helpful. It was a hard enough decision as it is. And also, when you're presenting these ideas, whether it's birthday party, I can't go to your anniversary dinner, whatever it is, having an alternative suggestion is good. Like, I'm not going to be able to go because work is always crazy in the fourth quarter of every year. But I have a 3-day weekend in whatever, March. And I would love to see you then. Would you like to meet up for lunch? Whatever. Somebody's far away. Maybe we could come down there on the long weekend, whatever it is. But have an alternative to let someone know I'm not dissing you. I just need some calm in my life where we're not constantly doing stuff every hour of the day and having our weekends completely packed full.
Yeah, because it just wears on you. I like that. I love the option. I think that's a really good suggestion to be able to come and say, instead of this, why don't we do this? And if they say no, that's their choice, then they're missing out. But you still stick to your boundary that you've set. That's the most important thing when you're talking about protecting our peace. The boundary is really, really important, because without it, you know, you're not really honoring yourself. And when you don't honor yourself, you feel like garbage.
Yeah. Are you feeling incredibly overwhelmed and burned out and like you aren't even sure what to do with the rest of your life? We absolutely understand, and we've been there. That is why Andrew and I are starting a coaching program called 5 Weeks to Future You. We'd love to tell you more about it. We're actually offering free call so that you can meet us, chat with us, and learn about our program and our framework so you can see if it's the right fit for you. Just go to 5yearyou.com and schedule a call. We are only going to accept 5 people at a time to make sure you get all of the attention you need. So if it's something you're interested in, please set up a call as soon as possible, and we're really looking forward to meeting you. I'm trying to think of some other examples of ways of keeping the peace. Like, I was immediately drawn to like all the demands of people and holidays, especially people with kids are going to be like, it's like so much. I'm trying to think of other examples of ways that we try to keep the peace that actually don't help us.
I think that another one with protecting the peace is, I know for me, I take on everybody else's problems. Mm. So when you come to me and you're having a challenge with work, with kids, with just life in general, that I immediately take that on. And you're not asking me to, but I do it because I'm an empath, and that's just kind of how I'm wired. So one of the boundaries I am setting is to kind of be present, but at the same time, not take it on, which is something that I think a lot of us do. We do that a lot with kids, right? They'll come home and they'll be like, they say, you know, such and such was mean, or the teacher did this and that. And like our first instinct is to want to defend our children because that's hardwired into us.
I know. You never thought you'd want to punch a 10-year-old, but then all of a sudden, here we are. You're like, she said, what? I would never do that. That was a joke.
I was just going to say, she has never actually
never done that. No.
But that is that natural thing. But so to understand that, like, look, this is their experience that they are going through in life. You are not needing as a protector or problem solver. You're just needing to be present and to walk beside them while they work on this. Mm. That is a very different way of handling it than making their chaos your chaos, because that's just what you're used to doing. So I can safely say I have done this countless times. Every parent I know does this. I think we're all way too much helicopter parents these days. Mm-hmm. When we were kids, it's like, you know, this kid kicked the crap out of me at school. And, you know, you wouldn't even tell it to your parents because why bother, right? Yeah. Like, it just happened and you just kind of, you roll with the punches and go to therapy for 30 years, 20 years later. But, you know,
no biggie.
It's fine. But protect your peace. No, but the point is like, there's a balance here. But, you know, when you have that ability to see that this is their journey and you're not meant to solve it, and you can keep peaceful, because that's really what they want, right? They don't want to, if the storm comes in and you become the storm, you're not helping the situation. If if they come in at a 10 and you take it to a 12, it's getting worse. Yeah. So what you have to do is just, you know, go, okay, this is a situation that's happening. Take a few deep breaths. Go, that must be really hard for you. I can see that this is a challenge. How can I best support you in this? Not how can I fix your problem? How can I go, you know, push little Timmy down or anything like that, and or anything bad, but just how do you support the person in their problem without making it your problem at the same time?
Yeah, I think it's really great advice. And I can definitely tell a difference during the times we call it like zipping up. Like, we just imagine we're kind of zipping ourselves up and are zipping our energy up. Like, we visually think about putting a zipper up and around our heads, kind of closing in the energy so that other people's energy kind of bounces off. Some people also call it getting in your bubble. So if you like don't want to deal with your Uncle Frank, who always talks about politics at Thanksgiving, you can just like get in your bubble and let his words bounce off of you, you know. But I have noticed a huge difference in my peace during the weeks that I get involved. I can tell one of the kids is upset. They're having friend issues, school issues, whatever is going on with them. They're tired, too many sports, whatever. When I get like all into it, I'm upset. I have a hard time sleeping. I get the mom worry. And then on weeks when I have that a little bit of zip up and detachment, sometimes I can even look at it in amusement. Not that it's funny or anything, but it's just like, wow, I went through this too. And like, this is so hard. And like, it's funny how people just do not change. Like, this middle school experience just is not a good time for anybody. That's what I mean by amusement. If you can just detach from it and say, gosh, I wish they didn't have to go through this. Gosh, I wish kids weren't mean, but like, I'm here for you. Because they actually don't want to take our advice. They just want someone to listen.
I think that's exactly it. Yeah, it's just being that friendly ear. A few other ways you can protect your peace. Now, we've kind of talked with some really big ones, but there are other little things you can do, you know, like you can take a digital detox for 20 minutes in your day where you put down your phone or you only check your email once or twice a day, depending on what it is for you. You can build peace into your day without having to set these huge boundaries, without telling people, oh, I did this. I know you and I were talking, and I sleep with my Apple Watch on because I like to track my sleep. And I would get texts in the night because, you know, if you were the kids, text me, I wanted to know. And then I kind of realized if they really need me, they call. If they're just texting to say goodnight, that, you know, it's fine. So, so I took it off, and it's amazing how much calmer I have gotten by turning off notifications on my phone. I can say I'm like 200% more peaceful than I was before all these notifications, to the point now that when I get a notification on my watch or my phone, it actually kind of startles me, which is nice. And then I assess if I still need that particular notification. It's a really good way of protecting your peace.
I almost think you sleep better too, huh? Because you're Sorry. Oh, yeah. Because your brain, I feel like if it's on, your brain is kind of anticipating, like, are the kids going to text when they're home and like things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And the reality is, like, you know, I'm just endorsing worry and anticipation when I'm doing that. So by turning that off, it's fine. And, you know, once in a while, I still get like a call at 12:30 and, you know, and that wakes you up and then I'll set you back. But like, those are important calls that are coming in at that point, like needing rides or whatever else. Another thing that I think most of us, like we've talked about, you know, the really challenging ones that'll come up with the season, but you don't have to explain your calm to anyone. You don't have to explain your choice. I think that's a really big one for both of us, because I feel like, you know, are we going? No. Okay, what did you say? And like, we actually don't have to justify what we're doing. We're grown adults that don't want to go tonight. Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly it.
But we also want to be understood. No. We're like, we want you to understand like why we're doing this. That, and the truth is like, most people aren't going to take the time to understand. So we need to be okay with our own choices. That needs to be enough.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a few more things that you can do to support your peace. Just on an this is more internal level than an external level. Start your mornings off quietly if you can. Even if you have like that first 5 minutes in the morning, just to kind of ease into the day where you do maybe a meditation or you just kind of wake up. You want to start cultivating these little peaceful moments in your day. And your morning is a really big one, because kind of how your energy starts the day seems to carry through for the rest of the day. I know both of us, because we realized that, you know, looking at Instagram first thing in the morning or any of like the social media things gives us kind of cheap dopamine. And we've stopped doing that because we've realized that it's better to kind of push it off a little bit. Mm-hmm. So protecting your morning and just kind of finding those little things that like, wow, this makes me feel more anxious. This makes me feel more or less peaceful, I guess would be the right way of saying it. And you just start kind of cultivating these little things. So if you come out of a situation where you've talked to your neighbor and it's bad, then you kind of come back and you're like, you know what? I don't really think I want to interact with this person at this time of day or ever again, or whatever your choice is. You know, just start nurturing peace, because that's another way of showing yourself that you have boundaries and that you're honoring your peace over chaos.
And the final one that I would say, if you need permission for this, because I think this is something people feel guilty about, you have permission for us to go a whole day without checking the news. The whole day. If you can have an informed day and then you can have an uninformed day. And I think some people feel really guilty when they don't know what's going on in the world. But it's okay for you to protect your peace. It's okay for you to not have to see disturbing images that bother you and make you feel bad for living in a different place in the world. And that's not to say that we shouldn't have compassion, but there is a way to be an empathetic and caring person, but also to stop looking at things and taking things in that make you feel bad. So we're not suggesting that you cut it off altogether, scan the headlines every other day, but hours of news intake can dramatically disrupt how you feel about the world and yourself and your family, and it can be really detrimental to your mental health.
I love that. I forgot that, since, you know, you and I have both really cut out the news, and yeah, it changes. It changes you so much, and you'll be surprised the more you do it how much you like it. And then somebody's going to come to you and say, did you hear about this? And you're like, no. And my life had been fine before I didn't know this.
Yeah.
The news is just, it's all negative, because
that's what sells.
That's the unusual stuff. Yeah, it's what sells. So every time you go to the news, know that you're actually seeking negativity, which is going to disrupt your peace. And, you know, it's a great boundary if you can set it and stick with it. I love the one day thing.
Yeah.
That's a great way to start.
For sure. All right. Those are all the different ways to protect your peace. You can start with baby steps. You don't have to stand up to grandma this year if you're not ready. But, you know, starting your mornings a little quieter, a little news detox, all of these things we teach you because we believe in helping people feel better and having calmer, happier days.
Exactly. Well, it takes us to the end of the show. And now it's time for our glimmers. Catherine, what is your glimmer? What is that little thing that's delighting you this week?
You know, we have been really growing our social media. We've put a lot of time and effort into filming and recording. One glimmer that just delighted me this week is we had a video completely take off on Instagram, and it's of Andrew playing the guitar. And I made a joke. I was like, if I would have known that we would have gotten thousands and thousands of views, I would have taken more videos of Andrew playing the guitar like years ago. But it was my glimmer today, because sometimes you put the work in, it feels like you're working into a void, and then sometimes something works and it all comes together. So that made me really happy this week. You can follow us at 5YearU, F-I-V-E, Year U, on all the social media accounts. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. We're there. We got all kinds of clips from the podcast and different things that we do.
Yeah, we're always offering good tips and tricks for life to kind of help you in your days. My glimmer this week is I just had my 3-month follow-up shoulder surgery. And my surgeon was very impressed with how solid my shoulder is. I don't have to go back for any more follow-ups. It's a really relief, to be quite honest, but it does show, like, you know, this has been a 4-month journey from when it was dislocated to healing, and I still got the road ahead, as we all do, but it really did teach me that a bad moment doesn't mean a bad life, even though it can be really painful. You will get through it, and it just really made it kind of bookended the whole experience for me today, so I'm feeling really glimmery about that.
Before you.
Thank you for all your support during the time, too.
Of course.
I know it hasn't been easy. Yeah. Always fun to just use one hand for a few months, folks, if you need more gratitude.
He's doing great. He's doing great.
Well, folks, thank you so much for listening this week. We will see you next week.
Hey, guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.